Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank, with Big Al and D-Mac.
Holy catfish!
Derek Carr, 11 of 12, throwing the football so far. He's going to throw another one here. Down at the 30-yard line. This is Lindsay. Lindsay breaking through. 40. Finally bumped out at about the 20-yard line by Marcus Gilchrist.
Mike Nugent for the extra point.
Blocked. Third and goal from the one. Freeman straight ahead. Touchdown. Royce
on first down.
Lindsay. Lindsay with another first down run.
How about that balance?
Keenan with time. Lawson has a man open and he's got it. Emmanuel Sanders for a first down.
Keenan with time. Throwing, going across the middle. He's Jake Buck, the tight end, and he fights his way to the 45-yard line. That's another first down. And then Keenan throwing far side. That is complete. First down yardage for Tim Patrick and Moore. Down the sideline and out of bounds.
Brandon McManus on the field to attempt what would be a game-winning field goal from 36 yards out. Well within his range. It's good.
Holy catfish.
The final, Denver 20, Oakland 19.
Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Victory Monday, Alfred.
That's right, baby.
And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Victory!
And they stay there.
Pretty sweet. Always sweet being the Raiders.
It's always sweet getting a win. Forget the opponent. But
people were having heart attacks, though, during the game. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, man, I saw – at least I heard about Stokely's tweet, man, that if he – if
still Stokely was done in the first half with Case
Keenum. Wow, man. What's
I'm
the deal?
I'm a raging Cajun.
I can
what's
find
the
it?
Deal, man? I mean, come on, man.
I am hotter than a red pepper.
He was upset.
Wow. No faith in the running game, the tight ends. Golly, man. You going to call for, come on, Stoke. You can't call for Chad Kelly. Come on, man. What was that? That's not cool, man.
Stokely, embarrassing first half. I stick by my tweet last week when it comes to the QB. Keenum needs to play better. Kelly is a legitimate option. No excuse for what I'm watching.
What the hell?
Holy catfish.
That's Brandon Stokely.
Wow. Stoke, man. No love, man. No love.
Thank you for being a dum-dum.
I wonder what he had put that off if Peyton was the quarterback. And we've seen
Peyton's track record's a little bit more stellar than
That last year Peyton was here. He had plenty of games like that.
My bad. I forgot y'all are all football experts. I'm just Peyton Manning. What the hell do I know?
Come on, we got to be better than that, man. We got to be better than that. You got to recognize what you're seeing.
John Gruden, weird line from Derek Carr. I mean, stunning when you think about 29 of 32. And one of those incompletions was the fourth down drop by Smith, the fullback.
They catch the game, maybe over. Game's over.
Maybe.
Game's over.
But 29 completions for only 288 yards. And Amari Cooper went off. 10 targets, 10 catches, 116 yards. Wow.
And I'll tell you this. At the end of the game, Amari Cooper did something that I thought was the most selfish thing he could have done. And maybe not a lot of people saw it or understood what they were looking at. But at the end of the game, the last catch was to Amari Cooper. And everybody knows that you basically have to throw the ball backwards.
Right.
So that you can continue to play.
Does that count as a fumble? No.
It would be counted as a fumble if it's not received by one of your players. But it doesn't matter.
So you think he just took it out of bounds just so he could get the catch and reception? And
yes, man. It's a very, very selfish thing to do, man. I mean, I saw it, and I was like immediately like, you know what? This dude ain't, you know, I can't say what I said yesterday, but, I mean, he ain't, yeah.
Is that a guy throwing
that's a guy who
rebound off the glass so he can get that double-double? To himself.
That's a guy
doo-doo
that I would not want on my team. Because in that situation, desperate situations call for desperate actions. And that was a very desperate moment in the game, and he just wanted the yards.
Well, I want to play you something. Man, it was
not cool at all. I mean, if you didn't understand what was supposed to happen, I get it. But those of us who have watched football for years have seen teams try, you know, the unthinkable. And every now and then it works. So why wouldn't you try it?
Philip Lindsay is the best rookie running back in the NFL after two games. Good for Philip. That's awesome. 14 carries, 107 yards, 7.6. Wow. With a long of 53. And he was, BJ was asked today if Philip should be the starter.
No, because it doesn't matter. You know, our deal with that room, it's more of game plan. Okay, it's what they do best. It's more who has the hot hand that day, you know, so we don't have to make a depth chart change to give him more carries or to give Royce more carries or to give Book more opportunities. It's really what we do, you know, and to have three guys who are all different, it's really tough on defenses. So he can be the three and still get 10 touches or 12 or 14. You know, Book can beat a two and still gets seven or eight. So it doesn't matter who's the starter.
Even though Devontae Booker only had three carries, Al, he actually played more in the game than Royce Freeman. So it's becoming a little bit...
He's the third down back.
...obvious what's going on. When you need somebody to block, you trust Devontae Booker a little bit more than you do the rookies. He had 22 snaps, whereas Freeman had 16. Now, he only had three carries, so it's apparent that when Devontae Booker's in the game, they're going to throw the ball. You okay with that?
They're going to have to break that, but he did get a couple of, once again, he got three runs, so that is a...
He got three runs out of 22 plays. It's right, obvious it's, when he's it, in the game, they're throwing the ball.
They're throwing the ball, and he's not the primary target.
Right. He's there to block.
Yeah, right. They're throwing the ball, and he is there for blitz pickup.
Are you okay with that?
Am I okay with it? I guess so.
It's not too big of a tip?
Well, I mean, if you know it, then every defensive coordinator in the NFL knows it. And if you know it, the Broncos know it, too.
But, well, it's not hard to figure out.
But, you know, he's just not very elusive. You know, he's a bigger guy, and he understands protections well.
Do you care if somebody's declared a starter?
No. Not at that position.
It doesn't matter,
not
right?
Not at that position.
No, you go with whoever you go with, whatever the game dictates, right?
But that run Philip Lindsay had, man, we haven't had a run like that, man.
It was fun.
I mean, you go back and watch the run and see there was an opportunity for him to put his foot in the ground, jump around a block that was being made, and it was effortless. I mean, he had a couple, man, on one of the other runs when he was out on the right side. He got hit right around the thigh pad area. Looked like he was going down. Handstand. Boom. Kept it up for another 7 or 8 yards. That guy is a different kind of runner. So we haven't had elusive, fast guys around here running with the football in a long time. As a matter of fact,
this is Lindsay. Lindsay breaking
this
through.
This is Lindsay.
40. Finally bumped out at about the 20-yard line by Marcus Gilchrist. That is a 53-yard gain for Philip Lindsay.
That kind of thing doesn't happen around here a bunch. Come on, man. Y'all know it. This is nice. This is really nice. This is a nice surprise. Even after we told you, me and D-Mac told you, Philip Lindsay is the real deal.
And Mike Evans, too.
Oh, Mike Evans did, too.
But definitely not Brandon Stokley and Zach, because they wanted D'Angelo Henderson. Right.
Listen, on the first day of training camp, The running backs were doing drills with the linebackers, and Brandon Marshall said, "Well, I don't know about those other guys, But that guy is making a team. I guarantee he's going to be out third down back. The first day of training camp. Now, he was out there doing the same thing in spring training and OTAs and all of that stuff. But when you get to training camp and not people are okay with just, you know, giving you that shove or giving you that tackle, man, it looks good. He is a real threat to catch the football and make some happy. He got a ball yesterday in the flat that I was, you know, I was upset that he didn't do more with. But maybe the guy had a natural angle on him and he couldn't set it up. But I expect him always to make one miss.
It's nice. Can he sustain it?
I think he can.
Why
long as
he?
You don't long as you don't ride him.
Why wouldn't he?
Right, but Royce Freeman, man, I'm telling you, man, on the third down and one with the defender in the backfield, and he gave him the stanky leg. Oh man, that was beautiful. That was nice. That was nice.
It's hard to argue. First, praise the offensive line because you ran for 140 something last week, 168 this week. So you've run for 300 yards in two games. You really can't ask for much better than that, right?
No, man.
You're doing
Bowles is playing good. He had one penalty on the takedown, but you know, if he's just got, you know, he was just in this battle yesterday. He's got to stop that.
Bowles is okay.
But he's playing good right now.
He's not playing okay.
He's playing good. But he can't get into these battles with, you know.
You're watching Ryan Ramczyk at all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. He's playing okay.
But he cannot get these personal battles, man. Listen, man, you know, the greatest tackles, you know, like Osimile. Did you see him yesterday?
I did.
You know, number 70 for the Raiders.
They got a big offensive line.
They got a huge offensive line. But did you see how, you know, he was talking all that trash, and then he had a hand through the face, really cost him big.
Yeah, they are amazingly stupid, the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, that is remarkable. And then he's playing with this emotion, and he's pointing, and he's, you know, I think digging at Brandon Marshall and at Todd Davis. And all I'm thinking is, man, reserve that energy. Use it for the next play.
The Raiders are exceptionally dumb. And it is incredible that
was a very Raider-like deal, though.
That pervades their entire, like, no matter who the coach is, no matter who the players are, they can't get away from it.
I'm like, what are you doing, man? You're better than that. Why are you wasting time talking to somebody about what you're about to do to them or what you have done to them?
How about the
just
dude
go
for
back
the Raiders
to the
who is,
and do it again?
The Broncos get off the field. He waves bye bye and he gets a flag. Who is that? The corner or the safety? Somebody like that?
Bruce Irving?
I forget who it was.
Fourth down and one.
Another dumb move.
Was that all he did? Was wave bye
bye? He was somebody crossed him or
taunting.
Went past him. Yeah, taunting. It was like with his hand. Bye bye.
He had to say something else because that's not enough.
Who knows? But then Bowles almost got into it, and Connor McGovern
with Bruce
backed
Irving
him
again.
Off with oh yeah. And by the way, there's video of Bruce Irving just totally giving up on a play. I wish somebody sent it to me on Twitter, but it's not. He's like not even trying. It's
Dude,
during the 2 minute drive.
They were gassed. The Raiders defensive were gassed. So I mean. And then yesterday, you really saw the real impact of not having Khalil Mack.
At the end of the day, yeah.
Yeah, when the game's on the line, no pressure coming from that left side.
No.
I was watching Billy Turner, man, setting up, playing with the guy, you know, fake jabbing and retreating, one-handing guys, finishing guys, moving them around the corner. The Raiders didn't want none in the end, in the fourth quarter. They just turned it down. I'm just being 100% honest. I'm not trying to, you know, go over the top in praise here, but they really shut it down in the fourth quarter on defense.
Yep.
They were just too tired. Number 21, what's number 21's name? He played a hell of a game. The cornerback, he played a hell of a game.
21 on the Raiders is Conley.
Man, he played a hell of a game.
Conley.
He was involved with some big plays. And he made most, if not all of them. I mean, he had a hell of a game. Number 21 for the Raiders, what she was playing for the Broncos.
Broncos did a good job shutting down Marshawn Lynch. He got loose a little bit in the first half, but kind of ran out of steam in the second half.
He's a big guy, and he leans on you, man. I saw him take Derek Wolfe for like a 4-yard run. I was like, wow. Yeah, Wolfman for a 2-yard gain.
The whole team.
And he got him for 6.
Now, granted, it was absurdly hot. Hottest game in Broncos history.
Right.
So, you know, it was tough out there.
It was the hottest game that many of those guys have played here in Denver.
Yeah.
But I can 100% guarantee you that's not the hottest game they've ever played in.
Oh, okay.
Every last one of those guys that have played in that game have played in a hotter game someplace else.
not great for the oldest
team in
the NFL.
They've never played in a game this hot with this altitude.
All right, let me address something.
The altitude counts.
Really quick, it was the fourth hottest game in Broncos history.
I thought it was the hottest game.
Home game. Okay. It was the hottest home game in history, but it was the fourth hottest Broncos game in history, home or away.
I mean, because yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I guess the heat down there was 100, and it was humid, and it was smothering.
You know where it's comfortable? In Arizona. I don't know. Where did Arizona play? Did they play in L.A., or was it in Arizona last night?
That game was in Arizona. I think it was in Arizona.
I just can't believe it was in Arizona. Nice and comfortable, baby.
It was in L.A.
How about the Cardinals? First of all, just play. I mean, you might as well just
play. The Rams have given up only 13 points in 2 games.
Rosen, you might as well just throw in.
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on? You got the ball over midfield one time.
That would be assuming that your quarterback can't play.
Not
true.
You moved the ball over midfield one time.
Not true.
What?
The coordination down there is awful.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
I told you as soon as that hire was made, I'm like, you know what? Here is a first time head coach coaching for the Cardinals, hired Mike McCoy. He's going to have to fire him in the middle of the season.
Let me take a peek at the next few games.
When do we play them?
October 18th, a Thursday, short week.
You know what? I need him to stay employed.
All right, so Baltimore has some time off. That's going to be a tough one, no doubt about it. And we'll start breaking it down coming up. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. Had a huge day yesterday, Al.
Yep, another big day.
Has that had an incredible start?
The guy's got a rocket for an arm. You're going to have to bring funk on him. You can't let him sit there and just... survey the defense and make throws. You gotta make him make a decision quickly.
I believe that will be the defining game for the Broncos.
Not me.
You win that one and go 3-1.
Me.
You are legit. You are a playoff team.
I can see us being 5-0. I can see us being 5-0.
And if you lose that game to Kansas City, you got some work to do.
The game against the Rams. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, but it's a non-conference.
I've been telling you all year.
It's like a meh game.
If you want to find out who we are, that's the game.
No, it's not a division opponent.
That's the game, though. But why are you worrying about a divisional opponent?
Because those games count more.
Don't you need a measuring stick? I need a measuring stick.
They don't use measuring sticks to make the playoffs. They don't use measuring sticks.
I think we're going to be 5-0.
It's not a beauty pageant.
I think that, going on the road to play Baltimore, we know more about Baltimore and Harbaugh and what he wants to do than any other team that we've played so far. We had a new offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. Don't forget, we had a new offensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders. But in place in Baltimore is the same system. You know how to play against them. You just can't give up the big, huge plays. Pressure them, make them one-dimensional. And that one dimension should be a pass, and then we're good to go. I know how to beat the Ravens. The Kansas City Chiefs is a little bit more of a problem because of the quarterback. But the one thing that Vaughn, yesterday tried to do that he didn't get done, but I knew what he was trying to do. When the quarterback is throwing the ball and 1.8, 2.4, somewhere between there, 1.5 to 2.4. If you're playing defensive lineman, you're going to have to learn to take 2 steps, get your hands up in the air. You got to go for a block. And it's frustrating because as good a rush as you have, you can't get there. Especially when the cornerbacks are playing off.
There was one common thread that I got over and over, and that was criticism of Demaryius Thomas. Will, you're on the fan. Yes, Will.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Super. Amazing.
Well, I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because judging by what I saw yesterday, we got some young fellas out there who are looking good. and Demaryius Thomas, not so much. So I just wanted to know, do you think he is in danger of getting cut or getting traded? Or
He will not be in danger of being cut. He will not be in danger of being traded, but he cannot, with Courtland Sutton sitting there, drop balls that he's got to catch. There's the two in particular. I know he had three drops, but two in particular, third down, that went right through his hands. It was zipped kind of hard, but he's got to catch that. And then on that, last-minute drive, ball's a little behind him, but come on, man.
My goodness.
You're a professional.
Bruce Arians was spot on, and he was unapologetic. Hey, you're an NFL player. You got to make that catch.
Got to make that catch.
Let's hear Bruce Arians talk about it.
Raider pass rusher gas right now. They need the blitz to get there. Here they come.
Team throwing this side of the field in and out of the arms of Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, that's huge. That's three drops today by an all-pro wide receiver. That's inexcusable right there. That's a game winner. Thank goodness they still have 18 seconds. I think, Trent, they can still go down the field 10 yards in the middle of the field and get this ball killed for the field goal.
And that's exactly what they did with Tim Patrick, by the way. Tim Patrick played like four plays the entire game. I mean, Demaryius is Demaryius, one of the greatest Broncos receivers of all time. He was out there for more plays than Emmanuel Sanders yesterday.
Emmanuel looked like he came up hurt on one of those passes in the red zone.
And DT cannot come up with that catch. Yeah, we have Tim Patrick barely playing in the game. On the next play, makes the catch, makes a great move. I think Emmanuel might have been screaming get out of bounds to him. If you go back and look at it, I think he cut inside, and then I think Emmanuel started screaming at him, and he runs outside. Brilliant. Brilliant play. So how can Tim Patrick, who's barely playing in the game, make a play like that, and Demaryius Thomas drops a ball like that? That just cannot happen. I mean, that is very plain and simple. That's not very complicated. And the punishment is just you're going to sit on the bench.
No, you don't have to punish him by putting him on the bench. Just don't throw it to him. I mean, he's on the field.
If he's open, he's going to
be
thrown to.
Listen.
If he can't be trusted, you just don't play.
No, man, you put him on the field.
To what, run decoy routes?
Maybe.
What was Kay supposed to do if he's wide open, like he was, twice?
Well, I tell you what, then you got to throw it to him, but... I mean, you know what? We need to just get off of this right now. Demaryius Thomas had one of his worst games, okay? It's not going to continue.
11 targets, 5 catches, 3.6 yards.
It's not going to continue
18
all
yards.
Season.
But Emmanuel Sanders averaged 24 yards in 4 passes, 4 targets. Made a heads up.
Like talking about Emmanuel.
I don't know what we would do without Emmanuel Sanders. I'm telling you right now,
we'd be in big trouble.
Man, that dude is money. Right, he is straight up money.
11 targets to DT, 4 to Sanders. You got to switch that around at least. And if you're and then
they could have had a bracket coverage on Emmanuel. I mean, if we know that Emmanuel is special, that means they know too. So DT's going to get his one-on-one.
Deshaun Hamilton had did he even play? He didn't get any targets, didn't get any catches. Tim Patrick, he's probably earned a little bit more.
All those plays yesterday, man.
Courtland Sutton was unbelievable.
Think about it, man. How many third down and ones that we came? I mean, excuse me, fourth down and ones, a half a yard, a fourth down and 1.5. You know, we just couldn't continue drives.
I think DT has all the talent in the world, and he's got to play better in situations like that. Plain and simple, right?
Let's take a break.
You're agreeing with me, correct?
Listen, man, I told you last year when we were going through this in February that the Broncos shouldn't have picked that option up. I told you that in February.
All right.
And it's now coming to fruition, and now everybody is upset. Well, I had a gang of people texting me saying, you know what, you know, Alfred, Demaryius Thomas is great, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? I'm not telling you he can't play. He's just not one of the top 10 receivers in this league.
It almost seems like a weird mental thing because he's physically in great shape.
He's not a top 10 receiver in this league. So, you know, I would have just did the hard thing but the necessary thing and moved on. I would have moved on, but he's here now, and he's going to have some great games, but every now and then he's going to have some drops. He'll end up with 1,000 yards, guaranteed. Guaranteed he'll have 1,000.
Well, he had 18 yesterday.
He'll have 1,000.
On 5 catches.
18 yards total?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's just, oh, man. He'll have 1,000.
You think so, huh?
No question.
Sanders had 96 on 4 catches.
Man, I told you, man, Emmanuel's cold-blooded. I've been telling you this for at least a couple of years. The dude is cold-blooded.
18. He's got no fear.
He's got no fear. No fear.
Is Demaryius got fear?
No, it's just that, you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know what it is, dude. I'm baffled by it. I'm just baffled. You know, because I've had vision problems my entire life, when guys start dropping the ball and doing those things, I always say, you know, let's check your vision. Because what else could it be?
We'll get to more of your calls. Interesting statements from VJ about the defense and, you know, a celebration, obviously. Broncos.
That's a celebration Monday.
At 2-0. It's a good, solid start. It's funny to hear that they've started 2-0 for the past 6 years. So a lot of things have happened in those past 6 years. We'll get to it next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan Dmac.
Great win by the Broncos. And Fan Football Pick'em, brought to you by King Soopers, where you could win a $250 King Soopers gift card or a grand prize each week. Grand prize, groceries for a year from King Soopers. Go register at 1043thefan.com. This is fun because if you lose, you get shamed and the listener picks out something you say. We had a great winner last week, even though Al lost. But Al, you know, said some brilliant things and I was greatly appreciative of it. But we're out of it here, Alfred. See, there's nothing for winning, though, right? Big Sexy? Like, there's no... Like, last year we had the King Soopers Feast, which was awesome. But we don't have that this year, correct?
Not that I've seen, no. Well, I mean, Al lost last week, so it's not like we would have won anything last week.
Yeah, but didn't the Zoakley Show win the whole thing last week?
They did, and I think they're still hungry.
Yeah, I didn't see any... Usually there would be leftovers, but I didn't see anything. So I don't know if there's anything to be gained by doing anything goofy to win. For example, Sandy and Orlando are a team. They have 18 combined wins. They both have Chicago tonight. We have 16, Al, so the only way we could catch them is if we both take Seattle. But it doesn't appear to do us... You have Seattle. I have Chicago. So the question is, would I want to just change to Seattle for the chance for us to
tie
Sandy and Orlando? And I'm just going to stick with Chicago because I think they're going to win.
My partner, D-Mac, really gets it. D-Mac knows football.
Thank you. Meanwhile, Cecil and Pritch are going to, well, now if they're smart. Oh, no, I see what the morning show's done. They split their vote. So Cecil and Pritch are going to lose. So one of those two dudes is going to take it on the chin in terms of being shamed tomorrow. And they both...
Shame.
Cecil has Seattle and Pritch has Chicago. Who would you rather see shamed, Pritch or Cecil?
Oh, definitely Cecil.
All right, then root for Chicago.
Shame.
Shame.
Unless Cecil picks...
Shame.
What?
Shame.
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 Is that me?
Shame.
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 All right, we get it.
Shame.
Alfred sounds like a woman.
Is that a woman?
Yeah.
I guess I can.
Congratulations. You like Seattle? You going to stick with Seattle?
Oh, man, it's Russell, man. Well, man, if you haven't figured it out, man, I always pick the best quarterback to win.
All right. Let's go out to Jason. Why not? Jason, you're on the fan. Thanks, Jason, for holding. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey. Like the show, dude. I just want to go over a couple quick points, okay? So, like, Case Keenum, you know, I thought he started really, really slow like you guys anticipated. You know, their defense came out. They did some stuff. But he came out in the second half, and he lit it up. Without those drops, you know, I think that we sustained a lot of drives. On top of it, our defense didn't win on first down. They were really successful on the dink and dunks on second and third, and they were moving the sticks. I think that if we go into Baltimore and we start slow again, I think that they're going to jump on us early, and we're not going to be able to turn it on like we did. Great team win, though, and I really appreciate the show, guys.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right.
Hey, by the way, Jimmy Smith out. Hey, man. Emmanuel Sanders is about to go off. Emmanuel Sanders is about to go off. Cortland Sutton is about to go off. That secondary is, you know, without Jimmy in there, hey, man, we are about to go off with our wide receivers. Case Keenum may throw for 400-plus next week. We got a chip over there with Suggs, but that's it. That's it. I mean, before we even get into game planning, I'm telling you, we're going to have a big day throwing the football against the Ravens.
All right, I just found out that, indeed, King Supers does provide a feast. The only reason we didn't see it, because this Oakley show was out on the road. That's why it was brought to them. So I am changing my pick to Seattle, Alfred, because it gives us the only chance to actually tie for first place, and I'm going to assume that Sandy and Orlando aren't sharp enough to split their vote. If we'll be in a tiebreaker with them, and then it'll come down to the tie-breaking game, we'll go from there. We'll take our chances. So I'm with you. All right, we're in together. Seattle tonight.
I don't believe in Trubisky.
Apparently, that's true.
Something's not right with him. Something's not right. He was scared last week. Had a chance to beat Aaron Rodgers. You know, Monday Night Football. All you have to do is get a couple first downs, salt the game away, and you're running around like, you know, a chicken with your head cut off.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Something's wrong.
When we come back, the punter of the Broncos is at it again. Details next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, we'll have you right here on the fan. Seattle and Chicago, what kind of win was that against the Seahawks? If the Seahawks can go into Chicago and get the win against the Bears, that might say something. We'll see. You can hear it right here on the fan. Marquette King, the punter of the Broncos, released a interesting video of him drinking something on a parking garage roof, looking at a Chucky doll that was stuffed with, I think, $1 bills.
Yeah.
And then going over to it and kind of patting it on the head, titling it BFF or something like that, number one, as if there's going to be a second part to this video. What do you think of Marquette King basically taunting the head coach of the Raiders after the game via video? That did go somewhat viral. I mean, it was on a couple of national programs today. They love that. TV shows love that stuff because it's good video. What do you think of that moment for Marquette King?
I wish that it wasn't available. You know, he plays for the Broncos now, so a little different standard. You know, it's a little different standard.
Shouldn't he be free to express himself?
Sure. But you play for the Broncos, man. You know, I mean, this is a classy organization, man. Everything about this organization says first class.
Was that not a classy video?
No, it was not.
Was it funny?
Was it funny? Yes, of course.
But it wasn't classy. Why?
No, because, you know, because we have to see them again and again and again and again. You know what I'm saying? And he's the punter.
And it's not about you.
It's not about you.
It's not about any player.
It's not about, you know, and if you have a contrarian thought about it, You know, it's just it explains why he was cut. It explains why he was cut. Who would do that?
Who would do that?
Yeah, who would do that?
I'm asking you.
I don't know. Highly disrespectful.
And personal.
And very personal, but I mean highly disrespectful.
Okay. What do you do about that if you're the Broncos?
I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know.
Should VJ do something about it?
Well, was it VJ who got him here?
Should John Elway do something about it?
Absolutely.
What should John Elway do?
Talk to him about, you know,
have him take it down.
Our standards.
It's just not how we operate.
It's just our standards. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know how many guys have played for the Denver Broncos and how many championships we've been involved with? I'm not telling you we want them all, but I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find another professional football team with as much success as the Broncos.
For the record, I've never seen any other Broncos player ever on social media or any other way target an opposing coach with anything even close to this. Have you?
No.
And by the way, almost every single player on the Broncos has a right to have a beef with some other coach. You could say Emmanuel Sanders could have a beef with Mike Tomlin. You could say Case Keenum could have a beef with, I don't know, Mike Zimmer, right? Remember, Mike Zimmer never even named him a starter
right,
at any point.
Right, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
You could say, I could keep going, right? I mean, aside from players like DT and Vaughn who have always been here, almost every player in the NFL, Alfred, at some point has been released or cut or something, correct? You certainly were.
Yeah.
You didn't have a great experience in Cincinnati.
No.
Were you throwing out messages to your ex-coach in Cincinnati?
No.
Aside from playing well, right? Trying to
well, play well. I mean, my situation in Cincinnati was really bad, you know, and we lost a lot of games, and it broke my heart. And many a night, you know, I sat in my front room crying and trying to figure out why it was, you know, I'm getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? You're getting hurt playing and you're losing. You know, it's not a good combination.
By the way, this wasn't the Super Bowl shuffle where everybody on the team was involved with the video, right? This is just one dude doing this on his own.
And we all understand that he was cut by the Raiders, but we know now why. I mean, you don't want the distraction. You just don't want it.
Okay.
So
could you see this as a reason for the Broncos to let him go, similar to how the Raiders let him go?
I don't know what the guarantee is. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't know what the guarantee is. If the guarantee is 1 year, then you keep him for 1 year and then you move on.
Because the punting's been
average.
Average. Literally average. His net is 17th in this league. His gross is 12th in the league. It's average. I mean, these are two games, and he's kicked a lot, 10 punts, and he's kicked both of the games at altitude. The Seahawks punter is unbelievable, by the way. Have you caught this guy?
Oh, yeah. That guy.
He's averaging
he's got to be like 55 or
57.
Something. Right? 57. Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we saw him. It was a fifth-round pick, right? Michael. Oh, is that the kid, Michael Dixon? Texas, okay.
Dude is crazy. We got that local kid, too, JT something or other.
Michael Dixon was born in Australia.
Where is the kid that kicked from here, played at Alabama?
JT something. Yeah, I saw him last week. He's kicking somewhere.
Right, I did
see him. They make new punters every year.
But he's also the kickoff guy.
J.K. Scott?
J.K. Scott.
He's a Packer.
Oh, okay. Packers. Well, he just must be the kickoff guy. And
no, he's a punter.
And the punter.
Yeah, Mason missed a big one yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Oh, my gosh.
He did. But, I mean, he's not going to get cut.
All right, let's go to, who knows? Crazy day. Three punters replaced in the NFL, kickers. Vicky, you're on the fan. Hi, Vicky.
Hi. Hey. So, I just want to ask a question. If we had tied yesterday and that we had blocked the punt yesterday, there was a potential for us to go into overtime and tie. And I don't remember there being ties in the NFL last year. I didn't like it that there was a tie between and the Packers, and I didn't like the tie between the Browns and the Steelers. Yeah. So why are we doing that?
Well, what they did, Vicky, is thank you for the call. Appreciate it. They took overtime from 15 minutes to 10 minutes because they said 15 minutes of overtime is too dangerous. So they shortened overtime. And we've had two ties in a row, which are terrible. And Adam Schefter with us earlier today suggested that they simply should go to the college football overtime system where you take the ball at the 25-yard line. Each team gets a shot, and you just keep going back and forth until you have a winner. At the least, you could have a field goal attempt, probably. I agree with Adam on that. I think it's a relatively simple solution, but Al, you don't like it. Why?
Well, I mean, you put all the stress on game management at the end of the game. The end of regulation should be a frantic approach to try to win the game. And if nothing else, you need your best calls to move the ball on offense. If you receive the ball to start, and then on defense, you need to stop. So, sorry, I like the traditional rules of football for the NFL. College
but if
is
you
college.
Went to college, you would
but
not
college
have ties.
College is college, though. College is college.
Do you like ties?
No, it is what it is. I mean, it's a tie. It's a tie. So if you don't like it, then do something to not tie.
Okay.
Like make a field goal. Seriously. I mean, both teams, make a field goal.
Great win by the Broncos.
Great win, man. And for my partner, D-Mac, what a great day for you, man. Great day for me. Big Sexy, I know you had a great day. And, of course, Kyle Berry. Hey, check us out on Facebook Live. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on the Drive. Good night, everybody.
Go Rockies.
To the game of football and the NFL.
Yes.
My partner, D-Mac, really gets it.
Uh-huh.
D-Mac knows football.
Oh.